Book 1. When Rain Falls in the Forest. 1. The Old Man and Woman. 1. 1993. Cambridge, England. Coming up on midnight in 93, England, before 24-hour licensing for pubs and bars, there were plenty of people making their way across the city. The pubs kicked out some time past 11 in the evening. Clubs any time between 2 and 4 in the morning. On the main drag, though, and into Cambridge, maybe 200 people were there to see Damien Peterson walk out in front of a taxi the minute before midnight true. Damien was a second-year student at one of the universities in Cambridge. He was bright, kept fit between hockey and sex with whoever would have him. Well-fed, toned, around 5 feet and 11 inches in height. The taxi that hit him was a Mercedes. It was big, clunky, silver. It carried 2 co-workers. The driver was sober. Damien wasn't. There was nothing the driver could do to avoid the man in the road. Nothing Damien could do to get out of the way, and the Mercedes was a damn sight heavier than any student that ever lived. It wasn't an even match. The Mercedes wasn't going fast because it was in the city, and a university city at that. At midnight on a Friday, there were always plenty of drunk kids around, whether they walked or rode on bikes. It was a hazard city taxi drivers knew well enough, but knowledge of the possibility didn't necessarily negate those possibilities. The heavy, slow car hit Damien, bumper to the part of the shin that sits just below the kneecaps. It happened to catch both legs because Damien, in his surprise, managed to turn to face the car. Side on, he might have stood a chance. 23 miles an hour and both legs bent the wrong way. His arms hit the hood, leaving a fair dent. A second later, his face, knocking out a tooth without ever marking any other part of his face. The taxi, at this point, was braking. There was nothing wrong with the brakes on the car, but no car can stop dead from 20 or 30 miles an hour. By the time it stopped, 20 more yards down the road, Damien's head had hit both the road and the underside of the big car. Thump on the hood, then thump on the road, duller, and the sound of somewhere between the two on the way back up. 200 or so people didn't all see the accident, but they were aware. A couple of screamers, the screech of the tires on the road, plenty turned to look. A few people stood under a restaurant's canopy and saw pretty much the whole thing. No one moved. Even the taxi driver sat for a few seconds, not hurt, but stunned. He already knew he'd killed the boy, whether at fault or not. Killed him without a doubt rather than stunned or broken. This refrain would stay with him for the rest of his life. Killed him. But he didn't die. Not entirely. Not instantly, anyway. A fiber, a frayed filament, still tethered his soul to the wrecked body. On the south side of the street, an elderly gentleman and his elderly wife held hands, an oddity in the drunken cities that belonged to younger people after 10 in the evening. People saw the elderly man, his wife still by his side, move to the dying boy. The man took a few seconds getting down like older people do. Sore back, knees, hips, a body that doesn't work like a 20-year-old hockey player's used to. The back of the boy's head was split. His eyes rolled, and there was a shard of tooth left at the front. The old man put his mouth over Damien's. People watching saw him try to give the kiss of life to the student, pumped up and down on the laboring chest, mouth to mouth again, pump. The old man's hands were covered with liver spots. His nails were yellow, but people didn't see that in the orange light of the city night. His wife stood beside him, her hand at her throat. A well-turned-out couple, people would say. He wore a 3-piece suit, she a dress under a coat, a heavy coat because it was cold, a dark woven material with the brooch at her lapel. Her hair was curled, his bald perhaps under a smart hat. The old man closed the boy's eyelids with his old, stained fingers. He stood, then shook his head to his wife, peered into the taxi, and shook his head again. "He looks so sad," thought a young woman watching from beneath the canopy, smoking cigarette forgotten between her fingers. She felt bad for not being the one there first, but there was always someone there first, no sense in interfering.